Hey guys, welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Supergirl After Show. This is Season 2, Episode 5, The Darkest Place. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Guys, I lied. It's episode 7. I've had too much of that alien drink.
That alien drink.
Oh, man. This guy right here who doesn't know his numbers is Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J, T-A-U-R-I-J-Y. And joining me today is my wonderful panel. To my left, Stephanie Winger.
Hi, guys. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere on the internet at Stephanie Winger.
And Lex Michael.
That is who I am. And you can find me all over social media at the Lex Michael.
Lucretia Lyon.
Hey guys, since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
Nice. Mm. And once again, this is Season 2, Episode 7, The Darkest Place. Don't change that dial if you're listening on iTunes. Cool. So this was a really eventful episode, guys.
Indeed.
There were a lot of sweet references, a lot of sweet storylines.
Yes, many a revelation.
Yes, indeed. And I would like to start it off by talking a little Guardian.
You do it. Start it off.
All right, yeah. So Guardian, he's out there, solving some crimes, stopping some criminals, and when all of a sudden this guy comes out the woodworks and just starts murking fools.
Indeed.
And I like the discussion we had at the bar about, like, if the Guardian can be trusted.
Sure.
And, like, how quickly he was accepted by the people. He doesn't have anyone like Cat Grant kind of championing him into herodom. So it's nice that he's making, or at least in my opinion, it's nice that he's making headway, one of those ways, with the masses.
Sure. But of course, as we see that there's immediately a wrench thrown into that when he is framed for murder, and that tends to throw wrenches. When you are framed for murder, wrenches fly fast and frequent.
At least he was framed for murder and wasn't just actually murdering people like the Green Arrow.
It's funny you bring up the Green Arrow. Like, I get flashes of Arrow every time we spend big scenes with Guardian, because we're getting a lot of this hand-to-hand combat that we see on Supergirl from time to time, but it's always supplemented with a healthy dose of superpowers.
Right.
This is very much guy with some armor on, fighting with his hands and his feet and his robot shield, but it feels a lot more like, it feels like watching Oliver and Spartan do their thing a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that. What did you think, Stephanie?
I mean, I kind of agree with what's been said already. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it continues to play out in the episodes to come. We obviously have a big week next week with the crossover, which I don't think we'll get a lot of Guardian, but in the episodes to come.
Yeah. All right. I mean, what did you guys think of this Guardian bad, like this bad Guardian, if you will?
Yeah, so our friend Philip Karnowski, who in the comics is a character called Barrage, who was created by John Byrne in, I want to say, 88, around when he rebooted Superman after the first Crisis. And I wasn't sure that's who it was at first, and then, like, in between watching the show and coming in here, I Googled a picture, and I was like, oh, it's totally that guy. At first, I was like, didn't we just see this character on Arrow?
Yeah. Yes. I was hoping that it was just a different version of Adrian Chase, since that guy's cool. And it's like, oh, it's a different vigilante. Right. I could go with this.
Yeah, but, so I was wondering if maybe, because there have been different vigilantes, Adrian Chase is not the only, not even the first vigilante in the comics. So I was wondering, oh, like, wouldn't it be cool if, because Supergirl is connected but is in its own, like, pocket dimension for the time being, what if they busted out another one of the iterations of Vigilante? That would be really cool. They didn't. They went with another fairly obscure character who dresses like that.
Yes.
But okay.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, who aren't watching Arrow, Vigilante is a new vigilante in the Arrowverse. He is running directly opposite to the Green Arrow. So in that universe, he is basically what the Arrow or the Hood used to be in, like, season one, but now we get a new Arrow facing him in this season. And so that's the character that we're seeing now, with the Guardian being someone who doesn't kill, and we get the Barrage, who is the one who's willing to take that next step.
And what's interesting about you bringing up that this could have been another version of the Vigilante, the original version of the Vigilante was Greg Saunders, and actually predates Superman as far as being a live-action superhero on television. He was the original.
Interesting. Nice.
A little bit of comic book trivia.
It's a nice poll. Speaking of nice polls, I can't allow this conversation to proceed too much further without addressing that in one of the very first scenes of this episode, we get a fairly explicit reference to Batman, and I literally threw my arms up and started dancing.
And then we rewound it, and he did it again.
I did it again as if for the first time. Yes. It was that exciting.
And we forgot to film it. Sorry, guys.
I know, we really need to get on that. But I feel like when I watch with you, it's so funny because I immediately turn to you and see what your reaction is. I'm like, wait, I'm excited, but like, he's level 10 excited.
I love the show, you guys. I love the show. I love that every week I get to watch something that makes me this genuinely excited.
Yeah. And especially this episode. I mean, not to stray too far away from the Guardian Barrage stuff, but, like, we got full-blown Cadmus. Like,
yes.
Experimentation, kidnapping, and just, like, the overall theme of, like, why Lillian does what she does.
That scene where she reveals her identity to Supergirl and explains her motivation about how she watched her son, Lex Luthor, who presumably won't show up on the show because he's Jesse Eisenberg in another universe, was essentially, in her view, driven out by this Superman who, in her words, like, poisoned everybody against her son. Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly personal and an incredibly visceral motivation. And, like, I don't know about you guys, but that stuff really worked for me.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of my favorite... It's weird to say favorite scenes in the show, but definitely, like, well-acted, and I felt like a well-written scene as well. And it starts to peel back the layers of that character, for sure. We knew kind of she was out for revenge, and that's why she was acting the way she was, but to hear it from her own mouth was something very different.
And I always love when villains reveal their, motives. They always have a way of doing it when they've got the hero trapped, and that's one of those tropes that I just love seeing. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yes, these are all my plans. This is why I'm here.
Yeah, she's amazing, though. Like, as an evil character, she is hitting it just right.
Yeah, and I think the best part about her is that she isn't super mustache twirly in that, they say the best villains are the ones that view themselves as the hero, and she definitely sees herself, like, defending humanity against this threat.
Her, 100%, her goal is revenge.
Yeah.
And it's like, she is out to seek justice, or justice in her mind, and she sees herself as doing something good. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I think it's an incredibly clear point of view that you can, if not agree with, certainly understand. And on a related note, what I'm adoring about this season of Supergirl, even in comparison to the rest of the DC shows, not just Supergirl's own first season, is that on this show, more so than any other, we're not going to have Batman show up, presumably, and we're going to maybe get Superman incredibly rarely. But despite the absence of, say, the Trinity characters, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, we're still getting to play with A-list DC mythology in a way that we're not really doing on the other shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like that, and I think the best part about that is that, like, the demo of the show is very much geared towards the female demographic, which I think allows them to have this, like, really kick-ass lady villain, and, you know, going opposite our really, like, honorable, strong female lead. And so, like, you get to have these characters with so many different layers and, like, motivations and things that, like, really make them interesting, and they just happen to be women, and we can do that because, like, we can stray, like, side of the very males-oriented comic book arena.
Sure.
Yeah. And to me, it doesn't seem forced or kitschy or just like, yeah, it's girl stuff.
Right.
Like, it seems real, and she is a real superhero. She's just as good as Barry. She's just better than Oliver, in my opinion. But, I mean, you know, she's a legend. You know, she is her own thing. And we had a great comment in the chat, which is why I was giggling earlier, because it's just the way it's phrased is why I love. BDog8504 said, they won't have Lex because that's Soup's nemesis. They tend to go for the girl-on-girl stuff. It's like, they do.
Yeah. Yes, that is
and
true.
More ways than one.
Yeah, well, I feel like we talked about in season one on this show the amount of, like, girl power on this show. And we're seeing it again in season two. And it doesn't matter if the character's good or evil, you're still seeing these strong female characters. And it's something that the CW is kind of owning right now, especially, I think, like, Jane the Virgin and all these shows, that they're bringing strong female characters to network TV. And that's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, even our Legends captain is Sarah Lance. You know, they changed it to a woman because, well, she was better at it than Ramp.
And so, with all this girl power, let's talk about some dudes.
Yeah.
Like, specifically, Jeremiah Danvers. smooth transition. I like that we finally get him. Like, we were wondering how he would emerge back into the scene. And he does so by helping Kara and Mon-El escape.
Yes. So, did it seem weird to anyone else that he was just running around the place?
Yeah.
It did, but it made me feel like he was like Newt from
Aliens,
where he's like living in their like vents and things. You know, I would love it if like one day he escaped, but he never really escaped. He's just been living there in the shadows, eating their garbage. And
see, I just think of Community, where, you know, Chang lived in the vent with Annie's boobs, the monkey. Like, that's what Jeremiah's doing, is he's just living in the vents, like, you know, watching all the stuff going on, and then he's like, oh, I can come out now.
Right. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I feel like he is, like, the guy who's putting all the puzzle pieces together, and, like, in the end, he's going to have all the answer, and, like, because he's, like, seems to be everywhere, kind of, and that's an interesting place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm wondering if, like, the bits we got of Jeremiah are just, like, he's presumably got his own thing going on, but is it, like, he's on his own secret espionage mission, and we're just crossing paths and periodically, or is there something else at play, perhaps?
See, I feel like he's got some invested interest in, like, DEO and all of that. Like, he's too close to all of it. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of the chat, like Davey Elmer, who's our expert in here, and Ulysses Campbell, they're like, yeah, he's definitely a member of Cadmus, evil in some way. Everybody's calling it, but I'm just like, if he's going to be evil, could we have Terry Hatcher be a villain with him?
That'd be
fun. Just for a little throwback.
Be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the evil perspective. I could also see him being such an asset that he can almost do whatever he wants and know that he won't get murdered. So, like, he set them free, and then at the end, he'll use himself as a shield, and they're like, how dare you, Jeremiah? You're lucky you're useful.
So important to us that we can't kill you yet now for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Classic scientist thing.
It is, actually. Yeah. So now, damn, what do they need him for?
Exactly.
We'll talk about it. We'll come back to it. Right? Predictions. This predictions,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Predictions.
We're gonna predict a little bit later.
Some oracles in this bee, you know what I'm saying?
There's one oracle, and she's right here.
It's very serious. Lucretia can't use her legs.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's very sad.
Very sad.
We've made that awkward joke before. It's fun.
Ah, it's great. before we jump out away from Cadmus, I really want to address this moment that Mon-El and Kara had while sitting in their cells together. They're both pretty much figuring they're going to die, and they bond in their fear and really start to kind of respect one another. And this, I thought that was really sweet.
This is what I've been waiting for, I have to say. Like, because I've been wanting them to get together, and you saw the first bits of that tonight. Like, yeah, and in the cell they bonded. And I thought it was actually a really sweet moment when she talks about, I know we're jumping a little ahead here, but talking about how that she always, like, supported Alex, and that if he survives, like, please let her know that, like, she wants her to live an authentic life.
Yeah, that was so sweet that her last thought was to think of her sister and what she was going through. Because that's because Kara is a true hero. Absolutely. Like, she's always thinking of others. And that's what I like, is that's who we saw Mon-El start to be. Because his, you know, he was going to run, but then when he thought Hank was in there too, he's like, oh no, but it was the other Hank.
Yeah, the other Hank. Hashtag the other Hank.
No.
Refuse.
He's like, Hank, John, what do I call you?
I guess I should get your opinions of Cyborg Superman, but I'm going to share mine first.
Do it.
I thought it was awesome. I thought he was great. He was really menacing, and I feel like that actor, this episode specifically for him was...
David Harewood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Had to be the funnest episode he's ever done. He got to be a super mad Martian, and then he also got to be a really stoic, angry cyborg.
Yes.
So good. So good.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you just as emphatically. Yes, it was all really cool, and it's great to see him get to play different things that he doesn't normally get to. I believe he's British.
Yes.
I could be wrong, but I believe he's incredibly British.
Yes,
so he's also doing it with an accent not his own, which is also very impressive. But, so Cyborg Superman. So Hank Henshaw in the comics is the original Cyborg Superman. So when they introduced the character of Hank and then did a bait and switch and revealed he was John Jones, that was doubly surprising because we know Hank Henshaw to be another character entirely. So when they started talking about Cyborg Superman and not revealing another actor had been cast... It was interesting to start to think, well, maybe that's how they do it. You bring back the real Hank Henshaw, and there's your Cyborg Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And we got it. And we got, like, the nice, what I have to assume is a Terminator homage with half of his face going. But that's also the way he's frequently drawn as well.
Yeah. And what I like is that was such a good way to utilize this awesome actor who, you know, was in The Night Manager as well. I love David. And he got to play so many things. It's a shame they don't give Emmys to the CW. Because, it was like, this guy was rocking it the whole episode. And how, like, as we know, Hank Henshaw is Cyborg Superman in the comics. And, it was almost like they set this up last season with the Jeremiah reveal then. Mm-hmm. So it's like they actually know what they're doing on Supergirl. I like that.
Of course they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on. I think the thing I like the most about it is that, like, now we have this familiar face that makes it's kind of somewhat reminiscent of Kara's aunt being the bad guy last season, but now it's a more powerful foe who doesn't have that connection with her, so will actually be a threat and be able to kill her.
Yeah,
essentially.
Sure.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Indeed.
Affirmative.
Quite.
Indubitably.
Steph, what do you think?
They're just going
to
keep going.
I'm like, I don't even know where to take it from there. I really don't. I think it's going to be interesting to see, again, kind of where this goes. And I'm excited that this character, again, I feel like we're finally getting, like, last season it was all about Supergirl and peeling back her layers, and we're finally getting these wonderful characters fully developed, and that's what I'm most excited about in season two.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Cyborg Superman fighting John Jones, because I think that will be the funnest fight. Also, it'll mean that we get more green Martian, because it'll be easier for them to
tell the two of them apart.
Yeah.
Well, one of them will probably always have at least 25% robot face, which would actually be easier. You could just put, like, something over one quarter of David Harewood's face and CG that later, as opposed to making all of him green.
That's true.
Yeah, this is getting like super soapy, but I love it. Yeah,
it is like the evil double trope. Yeah,
the evil twin. And everyone keeps mentioning the Thanagarian bars, which is a reference to the Hawk people.
Yes, the nth metal. That was very exciting. I danced again when that happened.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. We're like, yay.
And before I go talk about John Jones and Magan and Maggie and Alex and all that stuff, I'd like to talk about iTunes for a second.
Let's do.
Hey, guys. Are you listening to this on iTunes? Are you watching this on YouTube? Well, if you're doing so, why don't you hit that like button? Why don't you subscribe? Why don't you leave some stars? You know, that kind of stuff really helps us out. It helps our producers know that you love what we're doing. Because we love what we're doing.
We do. It's true.
Yeah. So why don't you love what we're doing? And take a little bit of time. It takes 30 seconds at most, unless you want to write us a novel, which we will read.
We really will. We will.
We definitely will.
We really like reading comments.
We like books. Yeah. So, guys, we'll read them.
Yeah.
So it's simple. You just go on iTunes. You hit that 5 stars if you love what we're doing. If you don't love what we're doing, keep listening. You'll love it soon enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot like comic book storytelling, where they'll change creative teams every so often. We won't go anywhere, but the story will pick up somewhere new. So if you don't like it, just hang out for a little bit. Something's going to happen that you will love. Just give it some time.
Yeah. And give us as many stars as you believe that we've earned. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. And we'll give you a shout out here on this show.
It's true.
If you're on YouTube, hit that thumbs up. Let us know that you love it. I assume that's what thumbs up means, is love it.
As in A plus. That got weird.
It really did. Lucretia, do you know if we have any comments?
We actually read the last one last week.
Sweet.
I know.
All right, well, you guys got some homeworks to do. Make sure you do that subscribing and that
subscribing
and all the ding stars. All right, that's enough of this. Moving on. John and Magan.
Yes.
So, I just realized that rhymes. Anyways.
Yeah, it's so cute.
We had that transfusion last week, and we were talking about how we didn't think it would come to head so quickly with Magan being a white Martian, but it really is coming to fruition in that, like, John's been seeing hallucinations.
Yes.
And then he's also, like, getting really jittery, and we get that big confrontation between the two of them.
Yes. A little bit like really aggressive Martian PTSD, I guess. And he's seeing visions of his wife and his daughter. And then, yeah, I agree with you. It was nice to see them bring this to a head as quickly as they did. But we've talked a number of times now about how great it is that they seem so confident in moving through material quickly.
Right.
But yeah, Martians fighting each other. Dude, you know I'm all about Martians fighting each other.
Well, I guess my question about it would be that, do you guys feel like Magan deserves forgiveness? Not for the blood thing, because she was trying to save his life. But, like, now it's... We know that she was a white Martian. She was basically a Martian space Nazi. Or a Martian space Nazi accomplice. It sounds like she was trying... She, like, escaped what the white Martians were doing. Maybe she helped some people, maybe she didn't. But, like, where does forgiveness start?
Yeah, I would agree with... I think that John is heated now because, you know, she wasn't honest. But how could she be? Especially after the comments he'd made and what she knew he went through. And I just feel that in time he will forgive her, as she does deserve forgiveness. I mean, we have to put ourselves in Magan's shoes. And what would you do if you were in that situation? She risked her own life to save these people and believed that what they were doing was wrong. But there was only so much she could do, being as she's one.
You know? Right.
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of whether she should be forgiven or not. It's that I think it's going to take him a long time to get there. Like, I don't think he's on that road to forgiveness for her yet at all.
Yeah, I agree with everybody in that. I think, and it's another character whose point of view is so wonderfully articulated and clear. I absolutely think that she can, and in time probably will be forgiven, but I agree it's going to take him a while. And it's another example of this show dealing in race relations really extensively.
Yeah.
Like, really extensively. Because, like, guys, like, I know they're Martians, but that's the conversation we're having. And that's really fascinating. And I almost don't want to see him get over it that quickly, because I think that would cheapen it as allegory a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because in the real world, these aren't feelings that people just, boom, suddenly decide they don't have anymore. It takes dialogue, and it takes introspection, and it takes time.
Yes.
So
yeah, this is one storyline that I hope, like, I love that they're moving through material so quickly and we're getting so much in season two, but I don't want this storyline. I want it to play out in a way that feels realistic, and the way they've been dealing with all these other social issues this season, and have it be maybe a little slower. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm all for not artificially dragging out revelations, but this is the type of thing where I agree. I'm hoping, and I trust that they will take their time and really give it its due. I think the way they are doing with a lot of the other relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that, you know, he will ultimately forgive her because he's got her in this, you know, cell, and I feel that that will sort of be towards the end game of the season, is her stepping up and being a hero, and then him seeing, yes, this is really who she's been all along.
Because
that's what they do on these shows.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, I think that the one extra little wrench, as we've been speaking of...
They fly fast and frequent.
Oh, yeah, but if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. but an extra little wrench that's been thrown into it is that now that John has gotten the transfusion, he's going to become a white Martian, which it... will make it very difficult for him to look himself in the mirror at a certain point.
Yeah, this is such a big concept, and it is so new. We introduced it at the very end of the episode, at least for him, certainly.
Yeah.
We haven't had the time yet to explore it. I'm sure we will.
Yes.
I have no idea how I feel about this other than, like, dang.
Yeah. I mean, it's really heavy. Like, just... having this character become the very thing that he hates. The epitome of, like, everything that has caused him pain in his life. And now, essentially, it's going to be a part of him. Or I guess it's part of him now, and he'll have to eventually become that.
I think it's going to be interesting to see that character. Because, in general, we've seen him, as you mentioned, like, his history is so kind of intense with this. And you want to see him kind of manage it, but I think a character arc, like, there's not going to be a more crazy character arc than this one.
Yeah, especially for a show that is dealing so consistently now with these social conversations and these dialogues about race through the prism of, like, alien stuff's happening.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of somebody with a prejudice having to walk in the shoes of that which they have a prejudice against is really powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And insanely compelling. So, again, I really trust this creative team to deliver on that idea. But, like, from where I'm sitting right now, I'm just like, dang. like, that's bold.
Yeah, it really is.
And again, goes back to CW, give some Emmys, man. I mean, David Harewood is just gonna kill it with all this.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, got three different things going on, man.
And I think the, like, lessons that they're weaving into their shows so seamlessly, like, I know we talk about it all the time, but it's so impressive the way they're doing it, because it's like this fun superhero. We talk about, like, the, you know, the graphics and all of this and the special effects, and then to, like, get back down to it and see, like, there are real issues that this country's certainly dealing with, and they're addressing them head on, and it's amazing.
It is amazing. And yeah, and I agree with you. It never feels like take your medicine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not an after school special. It's something a little bit, you have to, like, look at it a little deeper, and it's amazing they're doing it.
I'm just like Supergirl, a Spike Lee joint.
She's gotta save it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Spike Lee.
25th Earth, American History Earth X. I'm just
going
to keep going with Spike Lee movie Earth.
Yeah?
Wow. I was like, Supergirl does the right thing? I think that's
she
it.
She does.
I've said all of them now.
That's a factual statement. And one could say that Jeremiah is in fact an inside man.
Oh.
I'm just gonna drink this. Anyways, let's talk about Alex and Maggie.
Aww.
I felt like this whole story between them where Maggie just wants to be her friend and she's so hurt and she can't see past her own pain is really, it's really heartbreaking, and then it's fine.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I feel like this was a storyline that, again, kind of, it deals in social issues and it deals with real human emotions. I think, like, in any relationship, you go through hurt and you go through great times. And, like, Alex is certainly dealing with her own larger identity issues. And then how do you have this relationship with this one person? And it's really fascinating. And, again, one of my favorite scenes tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love all of the material between the two of them because it's even when one or both of them is frustrating me in a given scene, everything that, again, it's the point of view, character's point of view on this show is incredible and so consistent across the entire ensemble. You get where both of them are coming from, and even if it's like there's definitely a better way to communicate what you guys are trying to communicate here, it's so recognizable and it is so human. And Tari, like you said, it's a little heartbreaking because it is so human.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say, even the chat is, everybody is really liking the Alex and Maggie storyline, especially the Alex coming out, because it's been done so well and so real. And it's such a huge part of, you know, the zeitgeist right now of these, you know, what, how do you deal with things, especially now when things are a little bit more accepted. But at the same time, I mean, if you've, you know, you're an adult, like she said, I'm 30 years old. Like, it's so interesting to see them tell this story so well and to have most people on board with it because, you know, it's 2016, man.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just such a, like, sweet relationship. And like, they're still figuring themselves out. And you see also that Maggie's really still figuring out who she is as well. It's not just Alex. They're both on this journey. And I love the kind of the play back and forth between them.
And I really love the note that they end on in this episode, too, where they mutually decide, yeah, we are going to try to be friends because we really do care for each other. Maggie. Beyond being attracted, there is a mutual respect and admiration, and that's what's more important. And I really like that as an idea.
Yeah, it's very rare that we get that as well. Like, I feel like I see a lot of shows where after someone is friend zoned,
yeah,
then the other person is villainized or they just disappear altogether. But you rarely see two people actually, like, work through an issue in a mature manner and, like, acknowledge their feelings and try to move forward.
Yes.
And it's great.
Yes. Dude, that's exactly it. Trying to move forward. It's that mutual respect, understanding, actually engaging in a dialogue and considering the other person. And then moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a dialogue on both sides, and too with Kara. And what a great relationship is. There's this little bit of confusion, but then total acceptance, and that's, you know, Kara's first thought, too, is her sister's journey, as opposed to, you know, her possibly dying in this cage, too, just to bring that back up. You know, and they keep this story at the forefront like they should. And as I say, the chat is just still loving, you know, this Alex journey. And it's not just about the relationship with Maggie. It's about telling a good story. A good coming out story, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I dig it. I still ship it! Yes. Ship it hard! Yes. Ship it good!
In the chat, the ship name is Sanvers.
Sanvers, yeah.
Yeah, they said that was the official one from Chyler. But I still like Aggie.
Mm-hmm. I was Malix, man.
Yeah.
So it, like, rolls off the tongue. Malix. But forget about ships. We're still on a ship in that Cyborg Superman makes his way to the Fortress of Solitude.
This was another one where I was just like, anytime the Fortress of Solitude shows up and we see Kelex, all of that, it makes me very happy because we're playing in A-list DC mythology.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Cyborg Hank, up to no good.
Yeah, he uses Kara's blood, which I feel like is a weird way of doing that. Like, I have to imagine that every time they just bleed themselves a little bit, and it's like a Naruto summons. Weird, deep cut. But
yeah, Wolfpack.
Yeah. I feel like it needs to recognize her DNA. But then still, I'm going, like, is drawing that much blood? Because you poured all the blood out at once, too. What if you don't get all the information you need the first time? But he's also, I guess, part robot, so maybe he can absorb it all in one go, really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, the upload speed is fantastic.
Yeah, he's working solid-state drive, bro.
Yikes. Solid-state drive brain cyborg.
So we have a new, like, basically, like, MacGuffin plan, where it's like we've been introduced to this idea of Project Medusa.
Yes.
Which I don't in I'm I had since the end of the episode been running my brain to see if that rang a bell with anything that I've read before, and it so far is not, other than Greek mythology, in which there's a Gorgon named Medusa who turns people to stone.
Yes, right. And she has snakes for hair, and it's great.
Yeah.
And there was a Marvel villainous...
She's one of the Inhumans, yeah. I believe, mm-hmm. called Medusa, who mm-hmm. also has crazy hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so I believe we're going to delve a little bit deeper into Medusa next week.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe we talk about it then. Because isn't the next week begins the crossover, but I believe the episode is titled Medusa.
Is it?
I believe it is.
Yeah, I believe that's what was listed, yeah.
Okay.
So I believe we will start unboxing the Medusa box.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a really scary loot crate, the Medusa box.
Yeah.
We will begin to unbox it next week.
And then we all turn to stone after we unbox it.
Yeah.
It's like, then we do the mannequin challenge.
But we're literally made of rock.
Yeah. Well, I think that is a good segue into predictions.
Mm. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I like it.
Yeah! So, our next episode preview is the big preview for the crossover, where we get all the heroes teaming up against aliens. Heroes v. Aliens!
Yes, I like the continued use of the V. Just the V. It's very on-brand.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yes.
I mean, what do you guys think is going to either happen in the next episode that will tie Supergirl to the crossover? What do you think is going to happen based on our knowledge of Project Medusa and Cadmus and all that jazz?
I was actually thinking farther ahead, and I know some of the chat was as well, about why they wanted Kara's blood. And it's like, are we getting Power Girl? Because, I think everybody needs a clone. I mean, especially Ryan Reynolds. We need a bunch of those. But, yeah, I mean, clones are fun.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Power Girl is a clone of Supergirl.
She's like, really slutty.
Yeah, she has the boob window in her outfit. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
It's possible. I mean, there are plenty of stories where, for example, like Superboy is a clone of both Superman and Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's precedence for doing something exactly like that, both in the comics and with other characters in the mythology as well. So definitely possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you say Power Girl, I'm thinking about, we kind of teased this earlier, but like Mon-El is definitely interested in Kara. We saw that he's asking around about it. Could there be something where there's a level of confusion with Supergirl and Power Girl and him in some sort of love triangle situation?
Oh yeah, I could totally see Mon-El and Power Girl hooking up. I'm just already imagining it, and he's like, I don't know, I thought it was you. Oh, he's so
I'd also imagine that Mon-El and Power Girl would get along a lot better than Mon-El and Kara.
Sure. I feel like they bridged the gap tonight in terms of Mon-El and Kara. They're like, they're doing better
together.
They're
on the same page.
What I'm a little intrigued about, especially since this ship that you were so excited about seems to have begun to sail. really tickled by both James and Wynn's reactions to Mon-El's revelation that he does, in fact, have feelings for his non-revelation revelation, that he, in fact, does have feelings for Kara. So I guess this is a love square, is what it would be.
I guess so.
I mean, but it's like three guys chasing one girl.
So it's more like Supergirl doing her thing and this weird triangle trying to keep up with her is so, basically what it is.
It's like the flying V, if you will.
Yes! Yeah. They're like geese. Yeah. Majestic geese. So, okay, but we do find out that there is more to what happened on Daxam than Kara is aware of. Mon-El has some truth nugget to drop that he hasn't.
Yeah.
What do you think? What are we thinking?
I'm pretty sure he's the prince.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the most obvious one. Or that, like, he murdered that prince in order to leave. Like,
now I wear his skin!
I mean, kinda.
I don't think they're gonna make him go that dark.
That would be so dark.
I think he just feels guilty for leaving everybody behind.
Yeah, I think, like, you're more likely to see him be the prince and have the guilt of leaving his people behind than you are to have him be the person who murdered the prince. Because that gets into a real, like, dark situation that I don't feel like Supergirl's really all about.
Maybe not. Murdered, but like he definitely pushed his friend by the face and jumped into the ship.
So are you saying he saved himself over the prince? Because that might be a possibility that like he chose to save himself. I could see that. I don't know, but I just think actually like really being involved in the murder, that's pushing the line.
Right. Yeah. he blew up the planet himself.
Yeah. It's like, well, I accidentally tipped over, I blew up the whole planet, and then I just saved myself. Like, but I was just really drunk.
It's like, I just want to see what happened, you know? It was bigger than I thought it would be. Kaboom.
I mean, they elected me president. I didn't want to be president.
It's all connected.
It really is. Okay, I think that's all I have for predictions. Anyone have anything else?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I'm going to be doing a lot of festive dances next week is what I predict as I watch this four-way crossover.
I think I'm going to try to maybe Snapchat you doing that. So.
I think there are now many individuals across this and other lands who intend to see this captured in some form of record.
Yeah, we'll try to make that happen next week.
Yes. So, cool. I'm going to wrap it up. So, thank you for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV. This has been Supergirl After Show for Season 2, Episode 7. Right, guys?
That's the one.
Season 2, Episode 7. Thank you again for joining us. In between now and the crossover, we have Thanksgiving, so make sure to follow us during our vacations, which are probably nothing. But
tell us about what you ate.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And let's start with Lucretia.
Hey guys, since I'm Lucretia Lyon, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
I am Lex Michael, all over social media at TheLexMichael, also all over the CWDC ABTV slate here, Supergirl, Arrow Wednesdays, Legends of Tomorrow on Thursdays, Lucretia and I do Ash vs. Evil Dead on Sundays, which is amazing this season. We also do Comic Book Exchange on Wednesdays. So many wonderful places to come and nerd out with us. Please do. We love you. Crossovers next week. I'm so excited.
Cannot wait for the crossover. You can find me in the meantime at Stephanie Wanger, and I wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving.
And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. It's TauriJay. And next week, throughout the four-day crossover, we're going to be having a little bit of panel crossing over. So stay tuned, tune in, and you might see some familiar faces on assorted panels.
You're going to get tired of us, is what Tari's going to say.
Pretty much. Yeah. Until then, have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful Turkey Day. Cool. If you don't celebrate, have a regular day. And we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.